Hey everyone, I'm Madonna and this is David, and we're going to talk about the hierarchy of hormones today.
Right.
So, David, of course, being a holistic counselor, the specialty is about those stress hormones. So, cortisol, adrenaline, noradrenaline, that sort of thing. And when our body is running on those stress hormones, it affects everything else in the body.
As opposed to the positive ones, which are getting right, serotonin and dopamine,
Yes.
oxytocin and endorphins.
Yeah, so they deliberately take a back seat.
Right.
Because if your body believes that you're under stress, it believes that even if it's that unconscious brain, it's gone into a space where it goes, it does not matter if I can get out of bed today. It does not matter if I can sleep tonight, because it's more important that I stay alert so that when the tiger pounces, I see them coming.
And overthinking.
And overthinking, absolutely. And how many people overthink?
Well, not only, when we overthink, our brain goes faster, so our memories get laid down faster and it's not as efficient.
And there's that whole thing where when we don't have enough of the activated B vitamins, if we've got an MTHFR problem or something like that, and we're not utilizing the vitamins and minerals from our food, we end up backing up, we back up toxins in our liver more easily. And if we back up toxins in our liver's more likely to make something called fibrinogen, which is that sticky spider web like stuff that is in that I see in live blood all the time. And it's one of those things where it's really nice to see, because you say, well, this is all about the liver. But at the moment, your body is clotting, so it thinks it's going to die. So when the tiger comes and pounces,
Fibrinogen,
fibrinogen.
like blood clots, fibrinogen sometimes.
They can be, absolutely. So fibrinogen is a sticky substance that your liver throws out when it knows that, firstly, we're under threat, but also if it knows there's something in the bloodstream that the liver isn't keeping up with. So it might actually throw out fibrin deliberately just to sop up what it's not getting to in
Oh,
the bloodstream.
it's like a cleaning thing
Oh, yes,
in
but
the
you
body.
don't
It's
want too
right
much.
amount.
And then if you have it in the wrong places, it can stop your own stem cells from going and healing things in the body. So, we're born with all the adult stem cells we'll ever make, and but they can then become anything in the body if they're allowed out of the bone marrow, which of course, when we're stressed, that fibrin can stop stem cells from getting where they need to go for healing. So the longer we're in chronic stress, the less our body's healing and repairing.
Right.
And people often don't notice until all of a sudden they go, man, that was a tough 3 years, and they go. And then they don't know what to do with themselves. Because so many people wake up every day and they just take some painkillers. Do you know people in your world who do that?
Like paracetamol.
Yeah.
Well,
So
that's
I
okay.
that yeah, so I've got a lot of people who that's the way they start their day and they don't even recognize it. When I talk to people about their medication intake, they often don't even think about it because they've been doing it for so long that they don't even see it as being something that is a medication. Whereas every time we take something like that, we destroy a little bit of liver cell and the ability for our liver to repair.
Especially on a daily place like that. But then people are pretty they've got a lot of difficulty with pain naturally. And when you're in pain, it is very hard.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm not criticizing. I'm just saying that it's one of these things that people do. And if we're constantly throwing something like a painkiller into our body, we're actually numbing our body's ability to repair naturally.
Well, what about in a more in extreme case, like we've just not only here but throughout the world, there was that oxycodone thing,
Oh, yeah,
the thing where
horrendous.
so people were just taking painkillers and stronger ones than that,
Yes.
and I
And
always
getting
wonder it.
very addicted
I
to
always
it.
wonder about that because the tolerance built up, so they kept needing more and more, and then
So
it's.
again, you can imagine what must be going on in the cell walls then is that you must be building up more and more receptors so that your body needs more and more drug, because the whole process of addiction is it needs to be more regularly in bigger doses,
Yes.
to technically being addicted to something.
Yeah, because with a lot of addictions, the way it works is that as tolerance, because you're giving it more, you build more receptors. And so, like people need to be careful with changing things like that to do it slowly, because otherwise suddenly you've got all these hungry receptors without the what they're used to.
True. And that's where, by starting to, that's why I love things like Brock Shots, Broccon, because it actually cleanses the receptors at the same time as switching on your genes that are anti-inflammatory and pro-detox. And it's also why I love the redox signaling molecules as well, because they also allow every cell to renew, regenerate, and detox. But also vitamin D, which isn't really a vitamin, as you know, vitamin D is really a hormone, and it's required in every single cell of the body for just about everything.
And immune system.
Oh, massive, massive, absolutely. But it's one of the things when you can, because we have less and less absorption of vitamin D as we get older.
Right.
And that's because we
And
don't spend so time in the
less
sun.
absorption of everything, really.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
Well,
But
or less production of things.
sunshine's one of the things that helps to activate the receptors on our cell walls. So when we're avoiding sunshine, we're not actually upregulating our receptors. So in order to get our redox molecules working well, our stem cells working well, our receptors working well, we need sunshine. So that's
Well, people also get sunshine in the wrong places. Like you'll always get it on your face and your hands because you're wearing, whereas you really want to
you want to be
get it on
naked.
your body.
I never used to appreciate the 70-year-old men with their beer bellies, walking in the front yard on a Saturday morning mowing, but good on them, I reckon.
And the morning sun's nice.
Well, any sun is nice. It
Yeah,
just but
and the
people need
sea.
to, well, no, any sun is nice. And then we have to reduce our terror of the sunshine, because the more sunshine we have, the lower the all sorts of risk factors for aging and losing life and limbs.
Well, sunshine's such a good thing for all types of healing too.
Yeah, and it does
Very
increase all our
rejuvenating.
feel-good hormones and nature bathing. You were talking about the place you and your wife go and walk in the middle of the night,
Right.
which is just really
Well, it's
beautiful.
natural.
And yeah, it is, absolutely. So, we've got our stress hormones and energy hormones, which are the first most important hormones in the body. So things like cortisol, adrenaline, noradrenaline, but then our thyroid hormones as well. So when our body is stuck in survival, so just say you're in you've got a marriage or a friendship, even like little Teddy, him and his little trio of friends at the moment, they're seven, but they're all having this thing where they're all upsetting each other. And I know that two out of three of them keep ending up in tears about the whole thing. And it's really sad watching 7-year-olds.
Yeah, they're behaving like the adults.
So, well, adults are allowed to walk away. It's sort of as adults, we choose what we do.
We've also got survival tools. We can talk to people. We've got a lot of positives that they haven't developed yet.
So when we, and I always just remind him, hey, people have a bad day, people have a bad month, people have a bad year. Don't take it personally. It's probably got nothing to do with And I think that's a really important thing to remember. People out there have got their own things going on. So we can't take things personally when stuff is happening, even if it's directed at us, because sometimes it's not actually about us. In fact,
Well,
most of the time, it's not about us.
so often just take something that's meant to be neutral, like ringing the council or ringing a public a government department.
That's always fun. Everyone
No,
loves
but you really know
that.
that it depends on who you get and what mood they're in, whether you get the outcome often. And I'm not just talking about the public service. It's like that with everyone. Some people have bad days, and sometimes you get the person with a bad day. And even more, they did studies about judges, and they found that court decisions made after lunch or in the morning, when by the time the day stretches out, the decisions get more negative, but after lunch, you're more positive. And
How
just be
interesting.
it's very interesting. And there were studies done on that. And so, it's like people have bad days, and people have bad times of the day too. And sometimes, so I'm careful when I ring. It's like, you ring in the morning or ring after lunch?
That's really funny, because obviously a big part of that would be insulin and glucagon
Of course,
balance.
yeah.
So insulin can drive cortisol, insulin can drive stress hormones,
Down the
insulin
system.
can just really affect our ability if we're not blood sugar. And the whole term hangry, which I never used to really get. And then I don't know, 10, 15 years ago or something, Jay realized that if I worked on Saturday mornings and then we went to go get some lunch and we got distracted shopping, I'd be unleashed on some poor little shopping chickie babe.
Oh no.
And so we realize that we have to eat first.
Eat first.
Because I don't do breakfast. As a general rule, for 30 years, I've never had hunger in the morning. But getting the, I think the berberine, I've been taking berberine for a few months, and I'm finding I'm starting to get the tight, and for me, it's 1%. You know, like I'll get the getting this tiny hunger pang in the morning. I'm like, really? I'm getting hungry in the morning. I must be sorting out my liver gallbladder.
Right, and
Because the
I
less,
guess he has the coffee.
well, the less their liver gallbladder has dealt with everything from the night before, the less hungry we are in the morning. So many people get up and they eat breakfast because they're told it's the most important meal of the day. That's rubbish. If you're not hungry and you're eating, all you're doing is putting more calories on top of undigested stuff from the night before. So it's not necessarily a good thing. We've got to look after our bodies. But insulin and glucagon are really important, keeping those balanced. So insulin we release with sugar and carbs,
Right.
and glucagon we release with fats and proteins. So the more balanced they are, the more balanced our mood can be.
Right. So people with diabetes sort of symptoms, they're going to have mood problems often, I've
Oh,
heard as well.
yeah.
Just thinking.
No, I that just occurred to me with one of the kids in Teddy's little trio. She has diabetes. Interesting. In anyway, may have nothing to do with anything, but yeah. But it is sort of interesting. Yeah, so when stress is high, cortisol can suppress sex hormones, disrupt insulin sensitivity, and shift the acid alkaline balance towards acidity, because that's one of the other things. When our body is too acidic because we're having too much, you know, refined foods, Coca-Cola, you know, all sorts of things make the body way too acidic. Grains are really acid forming. So when we're having too many things that are acid forming in the body, then that also depletes minerals.
Oh, okay, does it?
Yeah, so because magnesium, calcium, and potassium are three of the most alkaline minerals in our body. So therefore, if we're acidic because of our lifestyle or stress, then basically our body will pull magnesium out of our bones, or potassium out of our nerves, or calcium out of our calcium from the bones, magnesium from the muscles, potassium from the nerves, sorry. And then it combined with things in the bloodstream as well, which can basically end up causing little clots. And then your liver can release cholesterol to go and bind onto those little things as well. And next thing you've got a little clump that the body says, oh no, cholesterol's bad. But it's actually the acidity that's the problem, or the stress that's the problem, or, you know.
And you can help your acidity with a little bit of bicarb soda.
Get a really clean bicarb soda. There's ones out there that are, if you just buy it from the supermarket, you're likely to be getting a free dose of aluminium with it. So unfortunately, there's a
Well,
bit of,
is it free?
yeah, you know, free aluminium. We don't get enough from the sky, so it's one of those things to be aware of. But yeah, half a teaspoon morning and night, so as soon as you wake up, last thing before bed. And
And
people,
half a teaspoon's are good for just about anyone.
yeah, you know, it's got to be away from meals though, because what it does is shuts down your hydrochloric acid in your gut. So you need hydrochloric acid in your stomach in order to break down your protein.
So an hour before or an hour after,
Yeah.
at
So
least.
if you're having, so what sort of high protein vegetarian sandwiches would you, and I know you don't eat bread, but what would a high protein vegetarian sandwich be?
Oh, I eat bread sometimes. High protein,
Yeah.
like avocado and cheese
Yeah. So you can imagine.
peanut, that's
Oh,
high
yeah, nice.
protein.
So what ends up, what
Lettuce.
my point was going to be that when you surround it by bread and that hits your taste buds, your brain is going, is this carbohydrates or is this protein? So a lot of the time, if we have a meal that's a combination of carbs, proteins, fats, but the taste buds taste the carbohydrates first, they will switch off hydrochloric
Which is the
acid.
yummy part, because carbohydrates tend to be yummy.
Well, they turn into sugar. Yeah, so of course our taste buds love them. But the problem is that then you end up with the cheese and avocado not being digested, so you're not getting that out of your body. So sometimes when I've got people and I'm doing, say, my VLA bioimpedance screening, and I'm seeing that their muscle quality just isn't getting better, sometimes they're just not releasing enough hydrochloric acid from the stomach. This is where Celtic sea salt comes in. So you get that Celtic sea salt on your tongue, have it in your water as well, but definitely on your tongue, because when it's on your tongue, you're changing the taste bud receptors and the sodium chloride, hydrochloric acid, the sodium chloride in Celtic sea salt helps to activate the hydrochloric
Hydrochloric
acid in the
acid.
gut. So you can't make hydrochloric acid without sodium chloride. Celtic sea salt's a great source.
Oh, really? So low salt diet
Oh,
will.
it's so bad for people.
Right.
I mean, don't get me wrong, normal table salt's terrible. It's got two minerals.
That's a
Celtic sea
really,
salt's
they're
got 80.
really high quality salt.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you don't use very much of it, so it's good to have better quality.
My clients go through more Celtic sea salt than anyone, I think. I say, put it on the table. Every time you walk past, put some on your tongue.
Right.
Because we've got to get those mineral that mineralization going in the body.
Well, we have that as our general salt.
Yeah, good. Good, good, good. Yeah, so the 82 minerals, including four magnesium, so it's got a whole bunch of good stuff in there, the good old Celtic sea salt. Metabolic regulators. Yeah, so the whole acid alkaline thing, that's a real problem for people because every disease state as we get older can be linked back to acid alkalinity. So
Okay.
whether it's cancer or heart disease or all sorts of things.
Right, so you're
So
saying that stress things are stress causes the problem with so many things. Like everything. It's bad for blood sugar, bad for heart disease, bad for cancer. Like
Absolutely.
as a really major risk factor,
Yeah, no, that's true.
hierarchically.
Yeah, so obviously the acid alkaline is not really hormones, but it affects everything. It affects the respiratory and renal function. It influences our cortisol, aldosterone, our thyroid hormones, all sorts of things. So, that's why you've got to have water, but you've got to have the minerals in there. If you're drinking plenty of water without putting minerals in them, then you are depleting your body of minerals. You're flushing them through. And the other thing is, you've got to filter your water. I know it's basic, but you've got to filter your water. That fluoride and chlorine can really bind with a lot of things in your body, and it is definitely linked with issues with breast challenges and memory challenges and stuff down the track. So, and fluoride and chlorine in water, they actually bind with iodine receptors. So, and iodine's also required in every cell of the body. So,
You need
got to be.
that iodine salt.
Oh, that's a no. I mean, if you get a really clean one, but I have never seen a clean one
Right, but
with iodine.
do people have a general iodine deficient problem
Oh, yeah.
in the
Yeah,
world?
no, because so many people have got Hashimoto's and thyroid. Kids are being born these days with thyroid dysfunction because here in Australia we've got a rule as to how much iodine is allowed to be.
Iodine's about thyroid.
We need iodine and thyroid, iodine and tyrosine to make thyroxine for your thyroid, which is our master thyroid hormone. But because fluoride and chlorine have an affinity with the thyroid, so when we're not filtering our water, we
Right.
are literally, it's like a sponge that's sopping up the fluoride and the chlorine.
It's funny what the thyroid does. Like, it can be affected by all types of organophosphates and what's the one herbicide. They can affect thyroid. And ironically, it's like when people get cancer, from radiation, they end up with thyroid cancer. And like the thyroid's an interesting organ. It's a
It
lymph
is.
thing, isn't it, really?
No, but there are a huge amount of lymphs either side of it. So if these lymphs here are chock-a-block, then your thyroid is going to really take a bad beating. And
Right.
also people who've had their adenoids and tonsils out. So because that, your adenoids and tonsils are a big lymph node.
Right.
So they're
What sort
lymph
of
tissue.
dietary things are good for thyroid?
It's a
Because I always
seaweed.
think of foods as, because I'm really into finding foods that, because if you want to get all your nutritional things, you really need a broad variety of foods.
Yeah, but you can't
Like
do it. You can't do it just from your food.
all the nuts, seeds, everything, they're
Yeah.
different types
There
of
is
nuts,
very few
different.
things with high iodine because it's
Okay.
deficient on the planet and because it binds with toxins. So, it's really challenging, but it is things like the seaweed,
Right, seaweeds.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
Because it's stuff from the ocean.
Right.
Yep. So for you as a vegetarian,
Oh,
you'd be
weird.
looking,
What?
yeah,
Seaweed's
seafood.
good.
Yeah, seaweed's great. Used to chuck it in my stews.
Crunchy one.
Well, I'd just rip it up and chuck it in and, give a really nice little burst of salty goodness.
What for, like, the what are the rolls with rice?
The sushi rolls.
Yeah,
Sushi
we
roll.
just tear that up and eat it.
Yeah, but the thyroid, it can be linked in with just about everything, can't it? It can be fatigue and weight gain, depression, cold intolerance, dry skin, hair thinning, constipation, slowed heart rate, menstrual irregularities, infertility, elevated cholesterol, sluggish detox. So, if that thyroid starts to slow down because we've been running on stress a long time, then it takes a long time to reverse that. And people really are so used to quick fixes these days. You can't do that. We got, 37 trillion cells in our body. It takes a long time to repair them and to change that whole thing. But every day, if you're thinking, okay, what am I doing today to bring myself back into balance? I'm getting my first sunshine in the morning. I'm using my red light therapy. I'm doing some grounding, getting out in nature, getting out in the grass, avoiding the nasty skies when they're nasty. All those fun things. Avoiding the glyphosate, choosing a few things in your diet where you can afford to do some organic,
Right, so things like glyphosate, they can affect your thyroid.
Yeah, no, it loves the thyroid loves glyphosate, unfortunately.
Running.
Yeah. And all those endocrine disruptors like the phthalates and BPAs, all those plastics, they
It's
have
hard
a
to avoid
really.
that stuff because either our food's wrapped in it or it comes in it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so glyphosate impairs the iodine uptake.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, fluoride and bromine. They compete with iodine, essential for thyroid hormones. So, there's other toxins. Mercury and lead damage the thyroid tissue and interfere with T4 to T3. That's why I like doing the oligo scans occasionally for people and find out what their master level of heavy metals is in their body and what can we do, to really start shimmying them out because more's coming in every day. So if we're not doing something, you never get rid of these things out of your body in the world we're living in. So it's about getting enough out, moving things through your body on a daily basis, so you've got a net, less is better. Less is better. Yeah. But things like so genetically modified soy really messes with people's thyroid. So when I was vegetarian for 20 years, I always bought organic soy. Organic non-genetically modified because as soon as it's GMO, then that is known to increase all sorts of shenanigans within our bodies. So we need.
All the GMO stuff's like Roundup resistant, isn't it?
Oh man, it's so scary. And now they're talking about RNA pesticides, so that's been approved here in Australia as well as in the US for experimenting. So, Uncle Billy's probably involved in that.
Oh, it's just an excitement over making things.
Oh yeah, and the non-butter butter that he's just released, some startup in it's made out of carbon, because that's what you want to eat, butter that isn't made of anything except carbon.
Delicious.
Ah, yuck.
Natural.
It's just crazy, isn't it? But yeah, so basically, getting all these hormones up and balanced. It's fairly important, if you want to live a long, healthy life. I mean, if people don't care about their health and are happy taking heaps of drugs, and that's fine. But it's never been my go-to thing to take medications, even to my detriment sometimes. So when I injured myself going to New York about 20 years ago, I had so much fluid in my legs and my spine because I don't travel well, that I was in excruciating pain for like 3 days. I was there and back in 6.5 days to New York. Like, it was ridiculous. I shouldn't have done it, but I had pain for like 6 months afterwards. And I was in the middle of a massage one day, and it was like months later, and I went, oh, I should have taken drugs. It just didn't even occur to me.
Well, nothing should be any prohibition's bad. I look at drugs for emergency, and because sometimes you're in pain and you just got to push through.
Yeah.
And but the problem is if you get into habit of taking them regularly without fixing the thing that's causing
Yeah.
it.
Yeah. Yeah, so hormones. Sort of interesting because you can imagine if all of this is happening from the top, with the stress hormone, the thyroid shut down, and then the overloading the liver, then people's libido isn't great. And, so it ends up affecting relationships and things like that down the track as well. Because again, if your brain is in that unconscious position where it thinks it's going to be attacked by a tiger every day, why would you stop to have sex with your partner? Because then the tiger might pounce and you both might die.
Right. Oh, yeah, that's a
You
good,
know, so
interesting
libido.
way to
There's worse ways. So,
die.
libido is one of those things that's very much linked in with health. You know, so when people come in and say they don't have a good libido, like that, there's a whole health thing around that.
Oh, right, with a bit, yeah, sure.
You know, it's not just.
Well, it has to do with blood flow, and it has to do with nitric oxide.
Yeah.
It has to do with.
And you know, I've mentioned my doctor Flavio Cattigiani, Brazilian doctor who's really quite brilliant, and he was 26 when he became an endocrinologist. Maybe he wasn't quite, but anyway, when he was young,
And endocrinology is generally dealing with the
that's
hormones
hormones,
and
absolutely.
also the other neuroreceptors, like, the dopamine and
Well,
stuff.
lots of things. So he was very young, around 15, 16. He was always fat, fair, flabby, just had no energy, had chronic fatigue in his teens, and no one ever found anything wrong with him. And they kept saying, well, you must have adrenal exhaustion.
Because
So,
he might have had one of those viruses like Ross Muller
well,
fever or
yeah, maybe.
glandular fever. They'll give you.
So he just knew how useless the doctors were, you know. And so he started studying, and he was one of the first published endocrinologists under 30 in the world.
Yeah, because that's a pretty new field, isn't it? Like the because a lot of the measurements they can do with neurobiology, they've only just been able to really look at them more closely in the last 30 years,
Yeah, right.
20 or 30 years, because we couldn't see that level of microscopic, like the way neuroreceptors work, like in counseling and psychology theory, it's kind of like almost a new thing
Yeah.
because they couldn't kind of measure it before or something, or they couldn't, I don't know, well, how it's become such a, because in counseling it's a major thing, the
Yeah, and in
neuroreceptors.
naturopathy, it's a major thing.
But I'm just thinking it's a newer thing because it's going into the research more and more and more because it's kind of provable. Whereas
Yeah.
before, a lot of stuff with psychology was more guesswork.
Right.
But once they worked out how, say, like, with ADHD, you've got a problem with dopamine. They're not hormones, but they're similar to hormones.
Yeah, neurotransmitters.
Neurotransmitter, you've got a dopamine problem and you've got a norepinephrine problem
Yeah.
with energy, and so because they're not functioning properly in the neuroreceptor, people are sluggish and distracted.
Yeah.
Because in normal people they work fine. And so, but the tech, the understanding and the studies on that are really fairly recent.
Yeah, so you just made me ask the question. Norepinephrine is a neurotransmitter in the brain and a hormone when released by the adrenal glands. Oxytocin is a hormone that acts as a neurotransmitter to influence bonding and trust.
Right, so here we go.
So yeah, there is a
Neurotransmitters,
bit of an
hormone,
overlap.
they overlap.
Yeah.
Whereas some are more hormone than
Yeah.
neuroreceptor.
And cortisol, which is our master stress
Find
hormone,
that
it
interesting.
increases glutamate. Glutamate's the one, you know, so our products are
It's an exciter.
Carmex, NeuroCarm, that sort of thing.
It's a negative excitatory hormone.
That's right. It increases glutamate, and glutamate makes our brain stressed. So
Right.
things like we don't have enough GABA when that's going on. So it suppresses our serotonin and dopamine.
Yes.
Estrogen, and this is where girls taking synthetic estrogen with the pill, it enhances serotonin, dopamine, and acetylcholine. Real estrogen does, but synthetic estrogen can do the opposite and cause all sorts of problems.
Right, because you can look up the foods that make these things improve, or because there's foods as well as
Yeah.
supplements to help.
Yeah, that's your specialty, not mine. So the thyroid
Yeah, that's
hormones,
interesting.
they can boost dopamine and norepinephrine, because for my clients, by the time they see me, the last
Yeah,
thing they
they're at
want
the
to do
end.
is, you know, they want to really kick in. And by that stage, their thyroids can be so dysfunctional, you're not going to ship that with diet, or at least it will take a long time. And again, people want the magic
Because
pill.
people come in when they're in emergency, they don't
Yeah.
get treatment until something's busted
That's right.
or
Yeah,
hurt it.
insulin facilitates the uptake of tryptophan, which is involved in serotonin
Oh, isn't that interesting?
synthesis, and progesterone calms the brain via GABA receptor modulation. So, you know, all of these things, they all have effects on other hormones as well, hormones and
Because
neurotransmitters.
they're all like that, and
Yeah, there's.
they go up and down together.
Yeah, and the whole HPA, the hypothalamus pituitary adrenal axis, you know, stress increases all sorts of things, which eventually affect our serotonin, dopamine, and GABA. You know, so we are not one hormone or neurotransmitter. We are a battery
But
of
isn't
all
it
of these things
incredible
all the
how
time.
no matter what we look up, stress keeps coming
Oh,
up
yeah,
as something that
absolutely.
interferes with everything,
Yeah.
And so managing stress is a really big factor,
Yes.
but that's a really big job.
Yeah. And
And
it,
because the way we do things,
yeah.
like a lot of it comes down to lifestyle too, because the way we do things, the lifestyle options or styles of lifestyle we choose to live are often producing those problems. And
Yeah.
changing lifestyle is really hard for people.
Yeah.
Like, just think about anyone you know who's given up an addiction.
Yeah. Well, I've listened to a fair bit of Jack Cruz recently, and of course, his answer to everything is spend 5, 6, 7 hours in the sun, because every cell receptor also has these amazing light receptor connections with it. So I really need to delve more into that as well. I'd love to interview him for my
Well,
podcast at
another
some
thing about
stage.
that is they find people with depression, if they go out in the morning into the sun, out there it wakens that up.
Yeah.
Yeah, that, because depression could be such a slow down, demotivational thing that it's
Yeah.
hard for some people to even leave the house because they'll have a social thing with it too. But just going out in the sun and standing it in the morning
Yeah.
can really just stop that.
Yeah, and I make sure, you know, one of the things is that your eyes are constantly rebalancing you to the time of day. So every time you go outside, whether you're just sticking something in the bin or getting something from the mailbox, look up at the sunshine. Look for a couple of seconds with your eyes open, a couple of seconds with your eyes shut. You're constantly resetting your circadian rhythm. I heard this week that our breast milk has its own circadian rhythm. So mums who are actually, how cool is this? So mums who are actually breastfeeding, say in the morning, you know, before they go to work, and then the dad is giving the breast milk through the day, that's not how it should be done. Morning breast milk should be fed to the baby in the bottle in the morning. Nighttime breast milk should be fed to the baby at nighttime. So a lot of women who are breastfeeding and pumping, they need to be thinking about the time of day
Well,
as
they
well.
put them off any part of it because breastfeeding women do
Breastfeeding
it.
is amazing, but that can be part of the issue if bubbies aren't sleeping.
Right.
And you know, so did you know that?
No, I didn't.
It's pretty cool, eh? So yes.
What babies sleep? Oh, some babies sleep, don't they? I heard about that.
Yeah, that was a rumor you heard once. Okay, I think that's good. Is that good?
Yeah, good.
Yeah. So any questions, pop them down below. And if there's anything you want us to do a video on, let us know. Cheers, everyone.
I could be
Oh.
hormonally challenged myself.
Obviously, if you need an appointment with David or I, let us know. Cheers, everyone.
You.